Welcome to The Edge Podcast. The Edge is the weekly youth service of Victory Family Center, and our heart is to see this generation encounter Jesus like never before. Now let's check out this week's sermon.
What we're going to do is we're going to have like a mini conversation up here. Some of your leaders are here. They will share as well as ask some questions that have come from you guys. So just... pay attention, okay? And I hope that like over the next couple of minutes that like you guys like gain something, you know, like you learn something practical for all of you as well. Okay, so we're going to start. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Ready?
All right. So our first question, we're going to pose them to our special guests who are right here with us. All right. Okay, so let me choose a difficult one for them.
How about the one, who is Pastor Pam's boyfriend? I thought
answer that.
I can't answer that. Okay, a real question.
Yeah, you can't answer that. I can't answer that too. Okay, so it says, all right, one of the questions here is, does age matter when it comes to dating or choosing the right one to pursue? Oh, he's very fast. All right, it says, does age matter when it comes to dating or choosing the right one?
Like when to start dating?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, so one of the things that we definitely decided on is that actually when you date, the intention is to marry, yeah. Right? Now, if you start dating at 13, when do you think you get married?
15?
Child bride. I mean, say, I don't know, 20, 21. That's many years to go for dating, right? Yeah. So actually, age does matter. You want to make sure that the intention is clear, it's straight, and that you know where you're headed, right? And you're not taking a long time to get to the point where the goal is. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we were... How old were you when you started dating? You were... She was 21.
How about you share your love story with us?
You want to hear our love story?
You want to hear that love story? Keen is very excited to hear your love story.
Keen, how old are you, Keen? Okay, can I just say 13 is too young to start dating. But you learn now. So when it's time, you can start dating.
That's
all right,
right.
Keen. Okay, our love story. Basically, so... Let me see, you were 20, yeah, about 21. I was like 4 years older. I was probably like 25. And actually, I was, I was in a previous relationship that did not go well. Now, there's a lesson with that too. I was in that relationship and, you know, there were certain things that happened. I decided like, hey, you know, I think I need to end this. And sometimes it's important. If you're in a relationship and it's not good, get the advice of your leaders, and sometimes you just need to end it. And I ended it because God has something better for me. Wow. He knew. All right, yes. Give her a round of applause. Okay. But I was very clear. I mean, I knew, look, I'm not going to settle, right? I've got expectations about who I want to marry, who I want to date. I knew very clearly, look, I wanted someone like in this house. All right, someone in this church, someone who loved God, someone who had a passion for the Lord. And so I looked around, and we knew each other actually for a long time. Gladys was actually like friends with my sis. So fun fact, I think even when she was, 18 years old, she actually spent the night in my house before.
Not in the same room,
but
okay?
Not with me, okay? Not with me. With my sister.
Make it clear.
Now, at that time, obviously, I didn't really know her, but, you know, she was, because we were in the youth ministry together. But I knew her. She was a leader. She loved the Lord. She was smart. She was intelligent. And so one day I just prayed and I said, God, like, actually, I think this girl, you know, she meets kind of all those things that I'm looking for, in a girl. And so I spoke to my leaders, and they said, you don't know her like super well, like there are things there, why don't you just take some time and get to know her? So I submitted to my leaders. Okay, I think that's important if you're thinking about going into it, like talk to your leaders and take their counsel, because they want the best for you, you know. And so I did, and then yeah, at the end of that time I just prayed and I felt God say like, yeah, okay, go for it.
Yeah, okay, for me, I think, you know, it was at the age where you were looking and you're looking for somebody. But it reached a point where it was like, I don't know who, you know, who can it be? I looked around. I want to marry in this house also, but I really cannot see anyone. So I said, God, you know what? I remember it was like an evening service, those old days, right? We used to have evening services. And I said, God, you know what, if there is no one good for me, I'd rather not marry. I said, you know, I want to marry somebody that really loves God. I really want to marry someone who loves God more than He would ever love me. Yeah. You know, and that was kind of like the baseline that I said, okay, God, that's what I want. And then a few months later, He started talking to me. Last time, do you remember? I don't know if you all remember this, okay? This might be a long time ago. There's this thing called...
Stop telling everyone how old you are.
I'm not that old. But there was this thing called Victory Highlights. Do you remember that? And then you would like do announcements. Yeah, okay, you guys remember that. So I was one of the announcers. And then it was, I think it was my birthday that day. And so suddenly I got a text from him. And it was, happy birthday, Gladys. I was like, wait, I've never gotten a text from this guy before. Like, why is he texting me? I don't know. I mean, the one before that, I thought it was a virus. Like, I was like, why is this guy talking? I had no idea. So anyway, when that happened, I was like, oh my gosh, I think there is something here, you know? But the first thing I did was my youth pastors at the time were Pastors Jeremy and Carissa Seward. So I went straight to Pastor Carissa and I said, this guy is texting me. What do you think? You know? What do you think about that? And you know why? I really wanted to make sure that everything was like covered in prayer. Everything was like covered and someone knew about what was going on. There was nothing secretive about it. And even the first time we talked a little bit, like we texted a little bit about a camping story. So he was like, you know what? If you want to hear more camping stories, why don't we go out for coffee? I know. I was like, coffee? Okay.
Keen, calm down.
Yeah, 13 years old, not yet, okay? And when that happened, I remember thinking, okay, I think there might be something here. You know, like there's something going on. And so I told my pastor, Carissa, and said, you know what? He's asking me out. What do you think? You know, should I do it? And she's like, well, do you want to? I said, yeah, I kind of do. And actually, what was really cool was at that kind of like meeting that we first met each other one-on-one, he actually said, I'm interested in you and I want to get to know you better. I thought that was a good move. Okay, guys, learn from that. It was so clear what was happening. There was no question about why this guy is texting me. There was no question why we were meeting up and why we had coffee. You know, and so I think the first thing I said to him was, thank you. That was it.
You're
I didn't
welcome.
Even say I'm interested. I said,
You're
thank
welcome.
You so much.
Yeah. You know, I think another like really cool thing, and then we'll let everyone else like share something too. You know, I think both of us were very clear actually what we were looking for.
Yeah.
You know, you ask about that question about age, but actually what's more important is like, do you know who you are and do you know what you're looking for in someone? Right? Because if you enter into a relationship not knowing that, you're just going to settle on whatever living thing you first see.
It's true.
Are you alive? Okay, let's go. No, I mean, you got to have a standard. Now, Gladys had a list of what? 41 things?
She said, I think 41 things that I wrote down.
She had actually literally listed a list of 41 things and she prayed and said, God, like, these are the 41 things that I want, like, in my future spouse, in a person that I'm going to date. And literally, like, I think the day after we got married, she showed it to me and, hey, I met every one of those things. I know.
Girls, let me tell you, set your standard high and
yeah,
don't compromise.
Yeah, set a high standard. You know what you want and set a high standard. Yeah.
All right. I think like just along with what we've been talking about, they talked about being clear, like how Pastor Chris was very clear that, hey, I'm interested in you, you know, and this whole series we've been talking about situationships. And I think the thing about situationships is that like, sometimes it's not so clear, you know, so maybe you can hear from one of the others, you know, what, do you have some situationship advice for everyone who is here? Claire, they want to
okay,
hear from
I'll
you.
Go. Can okay. you hear me? Okay, yeah. I think, I don't know, when people are in a situationship, I think you can't say that you don't know that you are.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? Yeah. Okay, the people who are like nodding your heads means that. Looked out.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think situationships are usually quite gray. It makes you feel like good at times, but it makes you feel uncomfortable at times. And I think how to identify a situationship that perhaps you shouldn't be in, it's when you know that Like, you've got to hide your phone from people around you. Or you got to be, like, sneaky about things. Or I think I see this quite commonly in, like, people these days, right? We try to bring, like, a third person along so that people don't know that, like, two people are actually going out. You know, that kind of thing. And I think those are situationships. And I just heard a term just now, define the relationship. How many of you actually know what that means? Yeah, none of us, right? Okay, yeah, I'm in your generation, right? But basically, you are in like that gray zone. You don't really know whether you are a thing. And yeah, I think like what Chris and Gladys said, it's always good to be clear and be very kind of like, you got to know your season. If I can go into seasons. Yeah, I think you got to know your season. I would say there's no perfect age, or we can't like define an age like when you're 25, when you're 22, when you're 21, right? I think now the ages just gets older and older, sadly. But you know, I think relationships are great. Relationships, actually, what I wanted to say today was that like, we celebrate relationships. Like, I get excited about like when people like each other, you know, and then we're like, you know, it's something to be like so excited and happy about. But I think the thing that we gotta know, and I hope that all of us take away, is that we wanna do it right. Yeah. Right? And the moment you do it right, like, everyone's gonna celebrate with you, you know, and when you take the right step, that's when you know that a situationship, I mean, hopefully you're not in that, but that can become like a good godly relationship after that, right? So I think one of the key things also, like Gladys mentioned, is accountability. I think that's one of the most important things. If I could share my story also, it's something similar actually. Yeah, but when Roy, so I'm married now for about... Yes, give it up for Roy. We are married for about like 11 months now. And I think when we just started out, I think what happened was that we started texting a little. I think not like Chris who like directly, happy birthday Gladys, right? Okay, something like that, right? So, you know, Roy started texting me, and I remember exactly what he texted me. He was like, he wanted to go into SMU, the university that I was in, and I was in social science, right? So he wanted to get into the school, and he asked me, so I think the chat bot on the SMU website like didn't work. So being the only friend in SMU, he texted me to ask me about some application stuff. So that's actually how we started talking. And I think nothing went on, and I think one day he was like, I think we were kind of like texting here and there, not really in a situationship because it was like nothing, but like I kind of knew that like maybe he was impressed or something. I don't know.
Impressed?
Impressed, right?
What a word.
Right? No, because I actually offered to help him like submit some stuff because I'm always in school. Yeah, so he was like, wow, this girl like can go out of the way for me to like submit my application for me or whatever, right? But I was just being a friend, okay? And I think what he made clear was that he asked me a question that really caught me off guard. He was like, do you think we are texting too much?
Whoa.
And yeah, I know, right? And I was like, oh my gosh. And actually, I can't remember in what moment I was, but I had to literally tell him like, I'll reply you later. Cause I was so shocked. You know, like sometimes like you're texting and you know, like you're in the right season, right age. And then you're like, you don't really want the guy, like for girls, you don't really want the guy to like suddenly ask you, are we texting too much? Right? Cause like, that's like, oh, what do you mean? Right? But I think that really, kind of helped both of us to reflect. And from then on, actually both of us like went to our leaders, we accounted and then we got their blessings and all of that. Right? But I think the key thing here is that the boy got the girl. Yeah. But anyway, both sides, you got to make it really clear. Right? Your intention. And from there, actually the same thing as them, there was no doubt. Like when we talked to each other, when we started hanging out in groups, like it was very clear that we were getting to know each other. Yeah, so I think that really, really helped because then it just smoothly went into marriage. Yeah.
Yeah. Can I just jump in about the clarity point? I think sometimes, you know, just now we talked about the guy being clear, but actually girls, we also have a responsibility to be clear. You know, I think sometimes we think it's nice to have some attention, right? The texting is fun. A bit of attention is fun. They sit close at service, right? You know, but are we encouraging it? Actually, if you're not interested or you don't want to pursue this relationship, are you also texting back, right? Are you also, I don't know, you know, I always around the guy, right? Or one of those things. So it's clear. It's actually important for the girls to also be clear about it. If I can just quickly share this verse that I kind of put out, because I was thinking about this. You know, timing is important, right? About this age thing, because actually the emotion of love is a very powerful one. I mean, the Bible actually devotes a whole chapter to it, right? 1 Corinthians 13 about what love should be, and in the Bible, I don't know if you all noticed this verse before in Song of Solomon. Chapter 8 verse 4, maybe someone has already shared it before. It says, "Promise me, O women of Jerusalem," talking to everyone, "not to awaken love until the time is right." And I tell you, this is so crucial, because once love is awakened in your heart, actually you do crazy things. You're going to do things that are like a bit like not logical, you know, irrational. And you don't want to put yourself in that situation. You want to go in clear-minded. You want to go in knowing that, God, this is the right time to awaken love. And it'll be fun. It'll be good. But it has to be the right time.
Yeah. I think I can just jump in a little bit on the situationships thing that we were talking about just now. So I think one thing that's very important...
Okay, and before I go, if you guys aren't already taking notes, please take notes. All right, but I think one thing that is really important is that is to set boundaries also, because sometimes we fall into... and what situationship essentially means is that we're enjoying the intimacy of a relationship without the commitment of it, right? And so if we don't... have boundaries, then sometimes it's very easy to fall into that. And I know with boundaries and stuff, like, sometimes it always gets quite an, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes boundaries always gets quite a negative connotation to it. Like, time we account and then our leaders like, set boundaries, like, oh my gosh, boundaries again. But I think I just want to like clarify and say that boundaries are actually a good thing. Like, God intended for boundaries to protect us, right? I'm so glad there's this thing called like a sea line. So, and you guys know when the sea crosses the shore, like what happens, a tsunami, right? And boundaries, like if you cross those boundaries, like it will destroy you. But what the devil does is that he actually takes what God means for like our freedom, and he actually says, no, actually God's restricting you. And that's exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden, right? And I think just one more point about boundaries. We always associate boundaries with like physical boundaries, right? Like, okay, don't hang out with this girl one-on-one and don't text too much. But I think there's something called emotional boundaries as well. The Bible says in Proverbs 4, guard your heart because everything else flows from it, right? So when he talks about guarding your heart, it doesn't mean just what you're letting into your heart, but what you're letting out as well. So just fun fact, you don't have to tell every single person about your day, right? You don't have to be vulnerable to every single person, right? And I think that's setting the boundaries. And maybe Claire can touch on this, but you know, they were talking about clarity and intimacy just now. And I think sometimes when we pursue intimacy before clarity, like, it leads to heartbreak, right? Yeah. I think the question that we always have is like, are heartbreaks like intended by God?
Yeah,
like,
we have one of the questions.
Yeah, so Claire, answer that.
Okay, hi. I just got aimed. Okay, are heartbreaks intended by God? I think these are conversations that actually a lot of my girls ask me before. Like, does God intend like bad things or sufferings? I would say that there's actually a difference between intent and allowing. I believe that God created all of us to like enjoy life, but you know, sin entered, and that's why like we had to work hard. We had to go through like sufferings. But I think in terms of like, does God actually intend heartbreaks? I believe that He intends for us to like go through life great. But sometimes some things that happens, maybe it could be our decisions that allow heartbreaks to happen. Obviously, like if you know that you shouldn't go into a relationship or a situation and you make yourself go into it, and then you get a heartbreak, then that's on you, you know. Like, sometimes we caused it, but sometimes I do believe that God also uses hardships to grow, like, to grow us. I think similar to, like, maybe, like, a parent. When a parent is teaching a young kid how to ride a bike, right, the parent doesn't intend for the kid to fall and bleed and, like, cry. But I think sometimes parents allow it so that they learn resilience, so that they learn independence. And I think that's the same for God. Sometimes we misunderstand that, God, why are you making me suffer? God, why are you making me like go through so much? But sometimes God uses all this to grow us. Yeah. Sometimes maybe because like our situations, okay, that's like from my own experience also, right? That sometimes like I wouldn't budge until like God put me into a situation and like I have no choice but to kind of like, okay, God, like, I'm giving it to you. Yeah. I want to close this door. Like, help me through it. Mm-hmm. So, whether God intend for hardships, for heartbreaks, I would say actually, I would feel no, but sometimes He allows it. Like, He allows it to happen to grow us. Yeah.
Do you guys want to hear a heartbreak story? Okay, I ask Gladys to share.
Not from him, obviously, right? I think this was like after, this is like maybe during JC, okay? So I got into a situationship. Now I'm learning how to use this phrase. Like with a guy, right? So, I mean, we were obviously going out, like obviously. And then, but like when people ask us, is this your boyfriend? I'm like, no. You know, when my mother asked me, especially, I'm like, of course not. You know, that just side story. My mother, whenever she thought that I was in a relationship, she'll say this. She'll say, "I rebuke it in Jesus' name." So obviously, I never told her about anything. Okay, but okay. So what happened was I was in this thing with this guy in JC, and I think throughout that time, I did feel like God was already nudging me. Right. So you ask, is God's intention heartbreak? His intention, of course, is not heartbreak. Right. But sometimes He might be nudging at us, right, and saying, "Hey, I don't want you to have heartbreak. So here are some decisions that you can make now." Now, what happened is I didn't do that. I didn't obey God at those moments where I should have and I could have, right? I should have, but I did not, right? And so it reached a point where it was like, I need to end this thing, right? I need to end it. I'm done with it. It's not right. I want to obey God. You know, I want to obey what God is saying. And at that point, I wrote this down because I think it's true, right? It was a really big step of like obedience for me, a big step of faith and trust in God for me. But that ended up in the greatest heartbreak. Now, do you know, but the story doesn't end there. The greatest heartbreak can sometimes end in the greatest reward too. When we obey God, it may feel like, you know what Claire is saying, sometimes at that moment, it feels like, "Oh God, why are you doing this to me? Why would you, you know, lead me in this situation?" I remember I cried like crazy. I think I might have lost weight too, you know, very dramatic, okay? But it was terrible, you know, but at the end of it, I tell you, no regrets. That was the best decision that I made. So even though heartbreak was involved in it, but God had something better in store. God knew what was good for me. Yeah.
Great. Yeah, that's good. I think...
No, and like a fun fact, I mean, I actually proposed to Gladys at a youth service just like this.
It's true. I remember that. I was really young. Like, I don't know, like really young.
Yeah, this is like 2011 or something. It was like an outreach night, I think, at Store Hub, for those of you who were around.
Yeah,
Compel night. It was like 500-600 people. And at the end of it, like, I came up to the front and I proposed to her. She was sitting in the front seat. So that was her reward, yeah.
If anyone... whoa, Keen, you want to propose to your girlfriend here? talk to your leaders. Okay, but not now, okay? Okay, but I think we want to move just very quickly. We have a couple more minutes. We want to move into another segment. I think we have a lot of questions that came in about the right person, you know, like questions about how do you know if this person is the right one? How do you know if your calling is aligned with this person, you know, like God... Does God really have the one for us, you know? And we have a question here that says, what if we miss out on the one? You know, like, are there many ones, you know, out there for us, you know? Or like, what if we miss out on this one? Then what's going to happen? All right, so does God have the one? You know, how do you know whether this person is the right one? Anyone can go ahead and answer this question.
Okay, I can go first. I mean, does God have the one?
Yeah.
Does God have the one? I think these are questions that kind of people ask, like, oh, does God have multiples for you or does God have one for you? And I did think through about it before that, like, personally, I believe, like, both kind of exist, but I draw towards more, like, the one. Because I believe that if God, like, has a... He can be so clear about, like, where to go in school, where to go and do, like, specific plans, that I believe He can be clear as well, even in relationships of, like, who He wants you maybe to date or to look out for. But... yeah, so I do believe that, like, there's, like, God can be specific in terms of relationships. But in terms of, like, when do I find the one, the seasons and stuff like that, I think that's why it's so important that as Christians, not just, like, when I'm ready today, but as Christians, that it's so important to ensure that we live each day of our life, like, in God's purpose so that we don't miss out on the season or what He's saying.
Yeah, if I can add on, I think when we have someone in mind, most of the times we are like engaged in a lot of emotions. And I think one of the key things that we want to do when we are actually asking whether, for example, we already have someone in mind and we don't know whether this person is the one. I think one way to do it is to kind of like stress test not that person, but kind of like make sure that people around you, especially your leaders, like are looking out for you guys. And I think like a group of people, you know, your friends, they'll be able to tell, right, whether you're like more than just like compatible and y'all two are cute or whatever, right? I think people can actually tell. And if you have like best friends, like introduce that person to your best friend, you know, tell your best friend to like stress test that person, you know, try to like get people involved. Like never ever keep like a relationship that you want to be successful a secret, right? Because it will never work out, right? You need people around you to tell you. Even your parents, right? Trust their instincts, right? And I think one of the key things, right, is that you should introduce them at some point, right? To your leaders, to your parents, and of course if they're in this house, make sure you come under counsel, right? And that's when actually what I wanted to also say is that doesn't mean you kind of like that person. That means you are going to marry that person, right? There's always room. Not saying that you will end up breaking up, but there's always room for you to get to know that person. And that's where I think what Asher said about boundaries come to play, right? When you're in kind of like getting to know each other phase, that's when it's important to set boundaries more than just physical and emotional boundaries. I think one of the thing that I remember Carmen taught us, right, is that we need to have conversation boundaries, right? Don't talk about everything like when you start getting together, right? Don't talk about like what your wedding dress gonna be, what house you're gonna live in, right? Because you are overstepping that boundary. And when you talk about it too early, right, you're getting ahead of yourself. So even the same thing, right, when you're finding a boyfriend, girlfriend, or even like what Asher said, you don't have to tell everyone like about your day, right? So conversation boundaries are also very important. Yeah,
I'll just quickly jump onto that. I think sometimes when we ask this question, like it comes a little bit from a place of distrust. Sometimes we feel like, oh God, like what if I can't find this person, or what if I can't meet this person? But I fully believe, and not just with dating, but with every single aspect of your life as well. Like that's why it's so important to like pursue God, because like I believe that if you pursue God wholeheartedly, that when your season is here and when your season comes, like God will reveal it to you. Right, in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul talks about how singleness is a gift, right? And he also talks about how marriage is a gift, right? And so, you know, if we believe that God is a giver of good gifts, then I fully believe that, you know, if you pursue God wholeheartedly, then He will lead you to that person. Yeah.
So Chris and I have been married this year, 12 years, okay? Let me give you a snapshot of what's ahead. Marriage is very hard work. And it's not as rosy and, you know, full of butterflies and all that you guys imagine, you know, sometimes. And but it's not as hard when you do the first part right, the one before you get married right. And if you can get that right, actually, the rest of your marriage, it becomes amazing, you know. And that's what I would encourage you guys to do. You know, I think sometimes we are looking for this one person, but how about you? Actually, what are you doing to become that one to someone else? And, you know, I think this, someone talked about boundaries too, right? This term that I've seen being tossed around some places, this idea of emotional integrity. One of the things that I had to put in place after this huge heartbreak for myself, right, was I told God, I will not go out with guys one-on-one. I just told God that. I mean, I said, it's just between me and God, you know, I told my leaders too, but I decided to do that because it, for me, personally, not for everybody, but for me personally, it was very difficult to feel like we are not in a relationship if we were going out one-on-one, you know? And so that was something that I drew for myself. You know, I said, okay, this is what I want to do so that I can protect what I believe God has in store for me also. So I think it's important that we do that and we see that, okay, God, like I want to set these things in place. I want to have a standard, right, for what my relationship looks like.
All right, so I think we're just going to do one last question. Okay, I think we had a lot of questions that came in about friendships as well, about how, I think we talked about how, like, to recognize some gray friendships, you know, but I think one question that goes around a lot is that, can I have a best friend of the opposite gender? You know, like can I, is platonic opposite gender best friend relationships actually possible? All right, anyone?
Okay, so the way I think about this, now, I hope you do have friends of the opposite gender. Okay? So the one you should have, right? In your connect group and all that, you should go and make friends if you're a guy. Hey, girls are not scary. Go be friends with them and vice versa. But I feel sometimes like the fact that you have to ask this question like reveals, I think there's something there that you know shouldn't be there, but you want to ask, like, is it still okay or not? Okay? Because I think if you're genuinely like, yeah, actually, I don't think there's any problem. You know, we're just good friends. I don't think you would ask like the best friend, that one best friend. And so I think that's it. I mean, if you were the one who asked that question, I think sometimes you should wonder why you're asking, because actually if there was nothing else to it, you probably wouldn't have to ask that kind of a question, right? Because you can have friends, of the opposite gender. But one thing that I have learned though, I mean, and this is something that we've worked out in our own relationship, is that at the point when you do get into a committed relationship, and certainly when you're in a marriage, you don't want to have any other person of the opposite gender that you have such a close relationship with. I think that's a good principle. Like, if we were married and I told her, babe, actually, but my best friend is this like other woman. I mean, it's not good. Like, it's bad. You know? And so why get into that kind of a situation when you can actually like avoid it? You know, I think I would like kind of looking back on where we're at now and knowing the kind of things that you might have to undo. I think there's a certain wisdom in the relationships that you choose to pursue that would really be kind of your two or three like closest relationships. So I think that would be my advice on that.
Yeah. All right. Anyone has one last thought, one last question, one last... Nope. All right. I think we're just going to wrap up here. I know there are actually more questions coming in like right now. My phone is ringing. Okay.
Is it Pastor Sola?
Pastor Sola is sitting right there.
Oh, okay.
No, okay. No, it's my grandmother. But anyway, that's not a point. There's a question here. It's just a very, very funny question. Can I date someone with the same surname? I don't know who you are, but the question just came in, just. I hope you guys know the answer. You can. Why can't you date someone with the same surname?
I mean, my surname is Lim, and if you can't date a Lim, that rules out like half the people in Singapore. So
yeah, my surname is Lim.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's not.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Let me say, unless they are your sister or your cousin, obviously. Okay. And then there's one more question that said, "Can I ask Asher out to Long John's?"
Is it a girl or what?
I don't know. And there are many, many questions coming in right now. It says, can Claire dance on stage? Maybe next
Come
week.
Come on, Claire.
Maybe next week. I don't
Come
know.
Come on, Claire.
No, this is a relationship plan, no, not a dance. Claire, no.
Okay. Okay, we'll answer one last question. Okay, one last question that just came in. Okay, it says, can girls make the first move? This is the question that just came in at 5:35:11. Can girls make the first move?
Why not?
I don't know.
Well, guys, in the Bible, Ruth made the first move, so...
True. Okay, I will not answer this last question that just came in.
You want to...
No, of course girls can make the first move. But I think what's more important principally is that eventually will the guy be the one to lead the relationship. It's quite different, right? The girls can make the first move. You can be more, especially if you're off age, you can be more like present. You can do your hair nicer, you know? You can dress a bit better, right? You can be a bit clearer also. But at the end of the day, it has to be the guy that leads the relationship. So that's what I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, and also, I mean, I think, you know, the deeper principles behind it is like, okay, well, why are you? Does it come out of a place of, oh my gosh, I better go and find the guy. If not, I worry, like, you know, will a guy ever come and find me? So I better make the first move. Now, then that has nothing to do with, like, who acted first or who had interest first. It has to do with, like, God, is my trust in you? You know, do I really believe that you've got the best for me? So I think there are deeper things there that are more important. Yeah.
Alright, so we're going to wrap up here. Hope you guys have gained some new understanding, some new insights. Keen, if you have a question, talk to your leader. Okay, no, but as we get ready to wrap up on our panel, you know, if you have any other questions, you know, like you're dying, you have a burning question about relationships, you know, your YMs are all around. Please go and talk to your YMs, talk to your leaders. You know, we would love to walk alongside you, you know, to see all of us walk into healthy relationships. Alright, so can you help me out? Give it up for all our panel today.
And that's it for this week. We hope you've been inspired and challenged to reach your generation for Jesus. Do check out www.theedge.org for more information, updates, and resources.